From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of February, 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In agricultural news, some in the Senate are uneasy about the not-so-evident plan of action to adopt two new free trade pacts. And the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City says farmland values in its district have made a dramatic jump higher. We'll have details of these and other stories shortly. And at the end of the half hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner will be here to take up the agricultural weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March contract in wheat pit was down 3.25 cents at $8.37. May futures at 8.69 and a half, 2.75 lower, and July at 8.97 and 3 quarters, down 2.25. Hard red in Kansas City at 9.30 for the lead option, 13.5 cents lower. March corn today, $6.90 and a half, unchanged. The May unchanged at $7 and a penny. July at 7.04 and a half, a quarter higher. September corn, 6.39 and a quarter, down 1 1/4. December futures for the new crop, $5.92 a half cent higher. March soybean futures, $13.66, down 2. The May beans at 13.78 and a half, 2 3/4 lower. July at 13.85 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. August beans, 13.67 and a quarter, down 3 1/4. And November at 13.28 and 3 quarters, down 4 cents for the day. The March bean meal at $3.64.30, $2.30 lower. The March soybean oil futures, $56.61, up 7 cents on the afternoon. February live cattle at $109 even, down a nickel. The April up 40 cents at $114.17 and a half. March feeders at $130.47 and a half, $1.95, 100 pounds higher. And April futures at $132.22 and a half, at $2.32 and a half cents higher. February lean hogs on the day at $85.65, down 2 1/2 cents. The April at $91.90, down 65 cents. That all happened in Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon. You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures at $84.99 a barrel, up 67 cents. Ethanol at $2.44, that's 0.4 cents lower. Natural gas at $3.91 and 8 cents, down 5 8 cents. The heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.77 and 4 cents, up 4 1/2 cents. And the gold futures on the day at $1,374.70 an ounce, up $1.10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 12,290 is up just about 64 points at this hour. The dollar at 78.2. is down 0.35, and the CRB index at 338.21 is up 1.92 for the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service. They say skies this afternoon partly sunny, mostly cloudy outside our studios at this point, a high near 54 degrees, south winds between 8 and 10 miles an hour tonight, areas of drizzle, a bit of fog, otherwise mostly cloudy, a low of 48 degrees, south winds between 11 and 18, they'll gust all the way to 25. Thursday, mostly cloudy skies, a high near 60, that's right, 60 degrees tomorrow, breezy, a south wind between 18 and 23, gusting to 34. And Thursday night, a 30% chance of showers, mostly cloudy, a low around 49 degrees. Breezy southwest winds at 11 to 21. They'll gust all the way to 29. Friday, mostly sunny skies, a high near 53. West-northwest winds between 10 and 15, gusting to 22. Friday night, partly cloudy, a low of 30. Saturday, mostly sunny, a high of 45. Saturday night, a chance of rain, cloudy, a low of 36. And Sunday, a chance of rain, cloudy, a high near 48. Sunday night, a chance of rain, cloudy, a low of 41. And then as we move into the week, Monday night, mostly cloudy, a low of just 31 degrees. On Washington's birthday, a chance of rain during the day Monday, a cloudy and a high of 50 degrees. More on the weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets, Paul Kulia of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What have you made of the week's trade so far?
Well, I knew the February break would take place, but I didn't know it was going to take place in the middle of the month. I thought it would be earlier in the month, but it has. And it is, rather dynamic in the fact that, it is a futures market, and there was this talk about, larger total planted acreage and good rains on August the 15th forecasted for South America. And, the funds are extremely long, and it took some switching origin of soybeans from U.S. to South America. And it did catch the market too long, and we did see some corrections in the marketplace. It did come back today. Cotton limit up, which is a major problem as far as cotton trade is concerned because of the erratic prices. And we did see a nice comeback, and it started in the corn pits in Chicago.
Do you think there's more left in this corn market? Will it stabilize at this point?
Well, I think it is a debate, and I think that we have to focus on two different worlds. I think there's the old crop corn, and I think there's the new crop, and you have to choose and be very careful of what you say and how you trade each one. But as far as the question is the corn market over? And I would probably say no, it's not over, but there will and can be some extreme volatility in the marketplace.
Well, where's the rationing taking place that slowed it down? What's happened to the marketplace that it said that's enough? Other than prices come up, who stopped buying?
Well, I think it's a three area deal. The feed wheat was a major problem. The second area of a major problem is we do see a lot of corn, production going to take place in South America. And the broiler industry, we understand, is losing some money. And some of the profitability has been taken out of some of the industrial use. So it's that. And, of course, the marketplace took a huge major head fake, with the problems in Egypt. The Grains Council had talked about this tremendous need for China to buy corn. And, of course, also the market's also talking about the need for a big acreage next year. Some of that has been basically sidelined in here, and the marketplace is waiting and actually, as we all know, is weighted up with a lot of longs, particularly from the funds.
I suppose we ought to make note that while we are having this discussion, we still have March corn just 10 cents off of $7 and December corn just 8 cents off of $6 at this point. So these are very good prices for corn.
That's true. And as the teacher said, you're in the higher percentile of the marketing club if you still have your corn at this area too.
What do you think about the bean market?
I think it's at this particular juncture, it has a little harder road to climb, and it's based on the general idea that I think the South American crop is quite large. I understand that the Chinese have actually slowed down some of their buying, and the bean harvest, we have seen some shifting of U.S. soybeans export to South America, and of course that's a major game with the freight basis and flat price trading, and those were shifted to South America. It happens every year at this time. It's not unusual, but it does look like the weather is ideal and harvest is full throttle. When we check with certain export sources, everybody has geared up their facilities to some extent to ship more soybeans out. Unfortunately, the transportation system in South America is extremely old and archaic, and when people show pictures of trucks lined up, it reminds you of the 1940s in the United States.
I have one other question for you before I let you go. Because of our discussion today, are you wanting to make any sales of corn, new crop corn and soybeans, or are you happy with just looking forward to crop insurance in the month of February as your what?
Yeah, in my opinion, that above the $6 area, as I mentioned, if you do make sales, I would have re-owned it with a $6 purchase of a call and sold a $7 call. Insurance is okay, but it's not okay in the flat price marketing of things. It's a wonderful tool, but don't get confused. They're two different instruments, and you have to treat them as such.
Paul, thank you so much.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. He's out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
The 21st annual All-Day Agricultural Outlook meeting is sure to attract a crowd. Among those presenting March 8th at the Beef House in Covington, Indiana, Murray Wise from Murray Wise Associates, Joe Vaklovic from MF Global, Roy Huckabee from the Lind Group, and Tom Fritz from EFG. Avoid the long registration line by calling 800-528-7980. The cost of the ticket is $20 and includes a continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 800-528-7980.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, is here now with a look at all of today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus and Ranking Member Orrin Hatch say they want U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk to give them a, quote, clear and expeditious timetable for moving through Congress the Colombia and Panama Free Trade Agreements when Kirk testifies before the panel on March 9th. In a letter to Kirk, the two senators also ask that he comes prepared to specifically identify any additional steps that the administration believes Panama or Colombia should take before the agreements can move forward. Both agreements have been stalled for years. The Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City says that farmland values in its district are climbing at their fastest rates since the 2008 boom. Fueled by surging crop prices, the value of irrigated and non-irrigated cropland across the region jumped 14.8% and 12.9% respectively during the fourth quarter from the year earlier period. The bank's quarterly survey of the region covers western Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Wyoming, Colorado, and northern New Mexico. USDA said on Monday that it expects net farm income, a widely followed barometer of the U.S. agriculture sector's profitability, to climb 19.8% this year to $94.7 billion. A Purdue University report showed 51 grain bin accidents last year, up from 38 in 2009, and the most since tracking began in 1978. 25 people died, and five of them were children under the age of 16. The accidents prompted the Occupational Safety and Health Administration to send letters this week to 10,000 grain bin operators across the U.S., telling them they are responsible for preventing the deaths of their workers in grain bins. The letter outlines seven steps that should be taken to reduce the risk of injury or death. Deere & Company, the world's largest maker of agricultural equipment, says its fiscal first quarter net income more than doubled, driven by growing sales of large farm machinery in the U.S. and Canada. The Moline, Illinois company earned $513.7 million, or $1.20 per share, for the quarter that ended on January 31st, up from $243.2 million, or 57 cents a share a year earlier. Revenue rose 30% to $5.51 billion. Deere projects equipment sales will rise 18 to 20% during the current fiscal year, and about 25% in the current quarter. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Another item to put on your calendar, the 25th day of February, that's a week and a half away. On a Friday, I will stay out of the office, but be on the air from the iHotel right here in Urbana-Champaign at the Soybean Outreach Summit. I hope that you'll come and stay with us for the whole day. It's sponsored by the National Soybean Research Lab and the Illinois Soybean Association. It's your opportunity to interact with the researchers that are using checkoff dollars to improve soybean production. It's a day-long event. We'll kick off, though, early in the morning with a quick look at crop insurance, one of the best in the business who travels back and forth to Washington, D.C. and knows the numbers inside and out. From the FarmDoc team at the U of I, Bruce Sherrick will be here. Daryl Good will be there during the noon hour. And then, as we wrap things up in the afternoon, a live Commodity Week panel. It's all at the iHotel on the 25th day of February at the Soybean Outreach Summit. Visit the Soybean Association's website for all the details. That's at ilsoy.org. That's ilsoy.org. Or you can call 888-826-4011. Now up next, one other item that's coming up on our calendar, the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale. It's the 24th day of February. This will be the 43rd annual sale. The IPT Bull Sale sets the standard by which the beef herd in Illinois is improved. It's been doing so for more than 40 years. This year, the sale, as is usually the case, will kick off the annual Beef Expo. It'll be held Thursday, the 24th of February at 11 a.m. on the State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Dave Seibert puts the auction together.
For the 43rd sale, we have 108 bulls cataloged. Of those, 22 are mature bulls, longer age mature bulls. There's 86 yearlings. The breakdown of the breeds are 59 Angus, 44 Simmental, 4 Polled Herefords, and 1 Red Angus.
What makes this sale special is that each animal is pre-screened from the time it is born to the day of the sale. It must meet prerequisites in order to be sold as an Illinois performance-tested bull.
First of all, of course, these are home-raised tested bulls. These are bulls that are processed through the different breed associations. They have to not only have weights, which we think usually are birth weights, weaning weights, and yearling weights, but they also have to have EPDs that are generated, developed by their breed association. That's actually the traits that we use EPDs to really kind of drive our sale. Actually, we start the bulls as far as the order of sale on 6 of those traits, and that would be EPDs for birth weight, weaning weight, yearling weight, a thing called maternal milk, and then the 2 carcass traits. One is marbling, and that's the little white flecks that you find in your steaks when you eat them, and the other is ribeye area, and that's if you eat ribeye steaks, that tells how big that is going to be.
EPD stands for Expected Progeny Differences. It means the bulls are screened for inheritable traits that should make their offspring more profitable to raise. Those wanting to learn more about the Illinois Performance Tested Bull Sale can do so online at www.iptbullsale.com or by calling Dave Seibert at 309-339-3694. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Tara Oliver from the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, is on the phone line with us this afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural cash grain movement. Good afternoon to you, Tara.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm very well. Are you enjoying this nice warm day?
Yes, I can't believe it's finally warmed up. That's been good news for us. That really picks up the truck flow, so...
Well, tell me about that just a bit.
Well, just warm weather, and it's cleared off all that snow, so we've seen a lot of heavier movement these past couple days now that the weather has been good and everybody wants to get a little bit moved.
Are those new sales or sales that just need to come in?
Most of it is just sales that need to come in. I think January and the beginning of February were tough months with the weather and those big ice storms that we got just to get everything hauled in. We are seeing some new sales, but I think it's slowed off, or kind of the purchases have slowed down with the drop in the board here lately.
Have you been watching the ethanol side of your facility there, and how's their margin doing?
Ethanol margins are still in the green. I think it's kind of getting to that point where a lot of plants just across the country are close to that break-even point. We're still running at full capacity, and, you know, our facility has been running excellent, and our margins are still in the green, so we're going to keep running as hard as we can while they are.
You know, earlier in the week, we were talking with somebody else about the energy market, and he used a term that we usually hear from the oil industry, which is a normal shutdown of the plants. How often do you need to shut down and do regular maintenance on the facility there, do you know?
We shut down, our general planned shutdown is we close for 1 week out of the year, so usually that's sometime over the summer, maybe like in August is generally when ours is planned for, and we'll just shut down for one whole week, and then a few times throughout the year we maybe have to take a day here or there for just general maintenance, but usually just that 1 week should cover us.
All right, so that's normal sort of planned shutdown.
Yep.
I wasn't aware of that, but thank mm-hmm. you so much for bearing with me on that one. What's yep. The cash grain bids there today?
Cash grain at Delphi is 687, Climbers is 683, and cash beans to Delphi are 1346.
Let's talk a little bit more about this cash market. Can you take a look into the cash bean market? Processors hunting down beans, can they find them?
I think that right now we've seen the basis on beans start to come back up a little bit. For a while, I think most processors were feeling comfortable, and now they're back on the hunt. I think it is getting difficult to find beans there. You know, a lot of people let a lot of stuff go back at the first of the year when prices were good. And now with the board breaking down the way it has been, there's not as many people ready to let some beans go in the spot market.
Thanks so much, Tara.
No problem.
Tara Oliver is with the Anderson's Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. I'll return in just 2 minutes when we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will be here.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of 5 new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's National Almond Day. It's also Feast of the Sticky Buns Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1883, the Ladies' Home Journal began publication. In 1897, P. Walker was issued a patent for his invention of a machine for seeding cotton. In 1909, Richard McDonald was born. He was one of the brothers who founded McDonald's fast food restaurants. Richard also designed the Golden Arches logo. The first McDonald's, by the way, was at 15th and E Streets in San Bernardino, California in 1940. The chain began 8 years later. And today, more than 245 billion McDonald's hamburgers have been served. In 1932, James E. Markham of Stark Brothers Nurseries and Orchards in Louisiana, Missouri, received the first patent for a fruit tree. It was for a peach tree whose fruit ripened later than other varieties. In 1937, Dr. Wallace Hume Carruthers, a research chemist for DuPont, received a patent for his invention of nylon. One of its first uses was to replace the hog bristles that had been used in toothbrushes. Commercial production of yarn for nylon hosiery soon followed. And in 1948, the first U.S. newsreel aired on television. Broadcast by NBC, the program was sponsored by a tobacco company. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner, World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, now joins us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Drew, thanks for being with us. It's a really nice, beautiful, and warm day here. Will they continue?
Well, they will for a while. Let's put it that way. It may be February on the calendar, and that's not, to my knowledge, springtime quite yet. And we will be paying for the piper here a little bit later down the road. March is going to probably be pretty cold again, and we're probably going to see a lot of precipitation yet to come. So enjoy the quiet while we've got it, and I think probably we'll start seeing a ramping up of precipitation as early as the latter part of next week. There's actually a couple of storm systems that will come along before then, but they will be relatively small and mostly confined to the upper parts of the Midwest. But like I said, by the time we get into the second half of next week, we'll be looking at more frequent storms across the heart of the region, and we'll end up with a lot of moisture out there to set the stage for the early spring season.
That moisture coming in the form of what type of precip? Ice, rain, snow, sleet, you name it?
Yes. I think it's about right. About all of the above. We'll have an opportunity to get involved with all kinds of things because we are going to start off with a warmer bias. And that will likely obviously give us some rain, maybe even a couple of thunderstorms. And then when we start bringing the colder air into the region, we'll change that over to some snow again. And when we finally start to warm up after a period of cold weather, we're probably going to be bringing in some freezing rain too. Now we're talking about over a 2 or 3 week period here. So we'll see a little bit of everything coming up. And the bottom line is that there will be moisture abundance across a fair amount of the region. So we'll have to deal with that before we can get into the field.
Take a look at South America for me. Tell me how they're doing. Speaking of fields, they'll be doing some field work, harvesting in particular, in Brazil and Argentina.
That's right. Brazil is trying desperately to get a little bit of field work done. There's some problems in some of the center west and interior southern areas where the ground is pretty wet and it keeps raining. They are amazing farmers in Brazil, just like we are here at home, and they manage to get a lot of field work done even when there's rain out there every day. So the progress will advance. It's just going to be a little bit slow for a while in the interior south and the center west. But the northeast part of Brazil is really quite dry right now, and that area needs a good soaking of rain to help the late season crop. And we're probably not going to see a lot of that for about a week or so. But then I do think it'll start raining. Argentina is still dealing with their dry bias in a few pockets. But really, the majority of Argentina is doing extremely well. A lot of timely rain for the soybean crop and late season corn and other crops. So we're definitely well beyond the worst of the problems in Argentina that we saw earlier this year.
Can you also tell me what your assessment of China and their coming growing season might be?
Yeah, China, we're concerned, obviously, for the wheat crop there, as is everybody. The precipitation that is suggested to occur there is going to be somewhat restricted for a little while. La Nina likes to produce a below-average precipitation bias in that area, and as long as that La Nina is still in town, we're going to continue fighting for some moisture. There is a chance for some rain in the second half of next week and again in the following weekend in China, but don't look for it to be a major drought buster. They'll get a few showers. It'll be welcome, but they're going to be like our hard red wheat country and still be looking for some timely rainfall as we move deeper into the spring season.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Todd. Have yourself a good day.
You too. That's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.